On my high school team, we had five guys make the NBA.
We had the county rocking.
It's the mecca of basketball.
There are those who come before us, upon whose shoulders we stand.
It's nothing that you can do to stop a competitive edge.
It's just in the water.
Welcome back to a special quarantine edition.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with you, Brody? With the virtual handshake.
I'm going to tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want all the smoke.
Welcome back to a special quarantine edition of All the Smoke.
Hall of Fame edition.
Hall of Fame edition, huh?
Ooh.
How are you?
I'm good, my boy. How are you?
I mean, I can't call it. You mean just trying to give the people what they want? That's it?
Huh, that's it. That's all we do.
Man, we got a great guest. Someone you guys have been asking for since the beginning.
You know what? He might have been the most requested since we started this show. Especially on IGs, he's definitely been the most requested.
Yeah, so, I mean, without further ado, we're going to get into everything, but introduce Hall of Famer, Tracy McGrady, man. Thanks for spending some time with us, bro.
Man, anytime, brother. I got to get in studio with y'all.
Anytime I see T-Mac, I automatically got to do this, Matt. The hang dribble. I got to work on that. That's the king of that hang dribble.
Just the hang.
The hezzy pull-up, huh?
Yeah,
and then
man.
Not to mention, he'll hezzy you, but then once he jumps, the nigga jumps as high as you possibly can on the jump shot, so there's no way you could possibly block his shit. Shit is insane. He'll hezzy you and then take off into space and shoot a jumper. Shit is crazy.
Man, I appreciate y'all boys, man. Y'all being the boys for the real ones out there, man. Y'all doing great things.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man. Thank you for joining
us. Appreciate you coming on, bro.
No doubt.
Present day, man. I mean, Jack spoke on the fortress you live in. How are you and the family holding up during these times where it's just you and the fam?
We good, man.
Casa Mac.
How big is that shit, Jack?
Well, he was just saying hello to somebody, like they were sitting next to him, but they didn't even walk into the gate of the house yet. They still outside on the street.
Nah, man, you know what? It's I'm a homebody anyway, man. I love to be home with my family, and I have four kids, wife. And it's, for me, I tell you, It's a great thing for my kids because it's making kids who are very extremely privileged and have everything that they could get their hands on, from toys to, you know, four-wheelers, anything of entertainment, it's making them revert back to the days when we grew up. Mm-hmm. They got to go outside now and be creative. My kids is riding bikes around the neighborhood, going down to the pond, throwing rocks in the pond. My girls out in the driveway, you know, got the chalk and writing in the driveway. They outside with their little pellet gun shoot. Bro, my kids ain't never did that. Cause they own the video games. And they just got other entertainment. But now, bro, you know, you got to go outside. You got to create games, and that's what we used to do. You know, we out in the, I'm on 5 acres, bro. We out in the yard playing wiffle ball. Never did that. Never.
Wiffle ball.
That's what's up.
You got to be creative around this time.
Got to be creative,
man.
Bro. And I love it.
No, that's good. We spoke on it. I mean, it just really gives you a chance to slow down. Even us as adults, I mean, you're still working post-career. We get on that hamster wheel, we start rolling. You know what I mean? And as much, we're fathers, we're you know, some of us are married, whatnot. We still have so many other commitments, but now that we're off that wheel, because all we could really do is nothing, you mean? We kind of take doing nothing, you know what I mean? You find the simplicity in just appreciating the small things that we're in such a hurry for, we always miss.
No doubt, and for everybody, this has affected everybody. So a lot of people are on the go constantly, right? On the go every day when we had some normalcy. Now that we're in this, you got so much time to think, to strategize, to do whatever it is, to create a plan moving forward. Like, if you don't come out of this with a new skill, a new plan to execute for a business or something like that, then you lack discipline, bro.
Wasted, right.
You lack discipline, bro. I mean, we got all the time in the world to sit back and formulate a plan.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it. How do you think that the NBA handled the whole situation? I personally thought, like, shit got real once we realized that the NBA was going to postpone the season. What were your thoughts on that?
Nah, Adam Silver, I think Ali does the best job when there are crises, there are situations like this, and we step out front and make sure we take care of our game, we take care of the league and the players, and they do a great job of that. And I was, you know, once everybody was canceled, you look at the NCAA, they still playing games. But I was confused. Mm-hmm. I thought the shit was a rerun when I was watching the game in Madison Square Garden when everything had ceased and NCAA mm-hmm. is still playing games. We're like, come on, bro. See, that's the problem right there. We get Adam and our league get out in front of everything and make sure they take care of our players.
Mm-hmm. Special with that. Leading the way. Obviously, congratulations first and foremost with your 2017 Hall of Fame nod. Well deserved.
Yes, sir.
That, my boy.
Talk to us about that.
Man, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I was, the first to be nominated for it was an incredible thing. I mean, we played a game to win championships, and mm-hmm. I never really got that opportunity to win a championship, never been on a championship team. You know, in our sport, or in sports period, you know, you have that window. And my window that I had was in Orlando teaming up with a Grant Hill. What mm-hmm. I was able to do without another All-Star in Orlando was, I mean, it was phenomenal. To even make it to the playoffs, you know what I mean?
Right.
But if I had Grant Hill, I'm playing for a championship. There's no doubt about
that. No question.
That window for me to win a championship was gone. So I go to Houston and I do my thing, but it was a lot of injuries. Those 4 years that I put in work in Orlando, it really took a toll on me once I got to Houston. I gave some great years in Houston, but mm-hmm. by the time I got to a team where we was going to be a championship contending team when we added Ron Artest, I was done. So I never mm-hmm. had that opportunity. So going through my career and then to get that nomination for Hall of Fame, I was like, okay, you know, maybe this is my reward that, you know, I'm able to look back on and be happy and excited about. Sitting in my house, they called me on a Thursday and was like, we're going to call you Monday to let you know, because I was a finalist. It was like, we're going to call you on Monday and let you know whether you made it or not at 12 o'clock. So Monday morning rolls around.
What was that? Hold on. What was Friday and Saturday and Sunday like?
Oh, bro. it's like I couldn't eat, man. I couldn't eat, bro.
Right.
I couldn't eat. I ain't have no appetite. Dang. You know what I mean? Because it was on my mind heavy. I was nervous as hell. I ain't even going to lie. So I'm like, dang, okay. Bro, right on the dot, Monday afternoon, my phone ring, and I see call ID, and it says Nate Smith Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'm home by myself, right? And he was like, I just want to let you know that you made it to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Bro, I'm talking about overpoured with emotions, just started tearing up. I was trying to find somebody to call. I was so just emotional distraught. I'm opening up my phone trying to go to the damn contacts. Bitch, I'm opening up the weather app. I'm opening up all kind of apps. Dog, I can't think, bro. You know what I'm saying? So my wife wasn't there. That's I wanted dope. To tell her first, but she was doing the event. So I just started calling people and letting them know, people Hell within my family. But yeah, man, it was my championship, you know. Right. Y'all boys were fortunate enough to win championships, man. And I wish I could experience that, but you know, this is my championship.
But you were someone, I think you're someone due to injury that I think people kind of overlook, so to speak. Obviously not motherfuckers who had to guard your ass, but I think the general public doesn't understand how motherfuck, like to me, during your run, the pure best scorer in the game, pure best can get you a bucket whenever you want it. T-Mac was that because you had no holes in your game. Tell me where that complete game, who did you watch growing up? Where did that complete package come from for you?
So for me, I always was blessed with talent, bro. I could have, and this is no bullshit, I could have played Major League Baseball. I'm throwing, I could throw a baseball 90-plus miles per hour. I could hit a baseball. Mm. I could throw a football on one knee 60-plus yards. Like, I was blessed with just, like, crazy athletic ability. I don't think I could have done anything else in life. You know what I mean? So this is what it was. I tell people that if this is how you reach greatness, or this is how people become great, is that I was blessed with that talent. So if you take me that never played the game of basketball, and you take somebody that plays the game, works hard every day, and they tap out at their potential, I could go and play against that player and stand out, not having worked at all, because I was blessed with God-given talent.
God-given talent, right.
You know what I'm saying? So that player has tapped out, and I'm on that level with them. All I got to do is work my ass off to elevate way above them. And that's what I did. I watched Kobe when we was younger, how he worked. And he told me a long time ago, when we was teenagers, bro, he was like, why would you play pickup ball? He was like, you ain't gonna get that many shots in the pickup game. He was like, work on your skills. Cause we was in Paris. He told me this when we was in Paris on a trip, Adidas trip. He was like, bro, don't play pickup ball. Work on your skills. And I promise you, that shit is going to pay off. Because you go play pickup ball, you're going to get, you know, a few shots here when you could go and work on your skills every day and put up 500 to 1,000 shots. And I never played pickup ball. And I worked on my skill, my footwork, and everything. Mm. So shout out to my boy, man. Our boy.
Absolutely. We want to touch on that and really touch on some stuff, because we know you guys are close. You guys came in pretty much same time and similar starts, to where it took you a couple years to get to really get on the court. It took Kobe a couple years to get on the court, but like you guys said, you guys are both Adidas guys, both young and out of place, and really had to lean on each other. Talk to me more about your guys' relationship.
So because we were, you know, both Adidas guys and both made the jump from high school to the pros, it was an opportunity for me to go out there and just be around Kobe. In L.A. And I went out to L.A. I stayed with him in the house with him and his parents. Mom used to fry up that, you know, fried chicken for us and macaroni and cheese. I was eating good at that boy house, man. He had chores and everything, but...
Yeah, shout out Pam. Yeah. He was out there cooking.
Absolutely. But to be around Kobe at 19 years old, bro, you would have thought Kobe had been here before and been around...
Yes.
You know, the greats of the game, because his mindset was so different, bro, than I ever experienced or ever seen anybody at 19 years old. Like, this man really and truly thought he was better than Michael Jordan, was going to be better than Michael Jordan.
Thank you, T-Mac.
You know what I'm saying? And at the time, I'm looking at my dog, I'm like, bro, you crazy as hell, bro, for anybody to even think that as a teen. I'm like, bro, something wrong with you, fam. Like, sir, you crazy. So we used to watch his homegrown movies, Come Fly With Me, Playground. I used to watch that religiously, bro. Pause it. It might do something. Pause, rewind, mimic it. I was like, dog, he was obsessed with this shit. Karate flicks. Mm. I mean, man, dog, he was different, bro. Going to school, I was like, bro, and his work ethic, just everything just rubbed off on me and how he handled himself, man. Partying wasn't his thing. Like, he wasn't trying to hang out. Nah. Oh, you going to the club? Nah, shit, I'm gonna go to the gym, put up these shots. Like, that's what he was about. He was different. I learned from him. And you know, he struggled his first year. It was, man. Nah, the Lakers, the players used to mess with Kobe so bad his first year, man. He hated it, bro. And because he took those steps, he went through that fire. I came after, I was able to lean on him times where I felt like I made a mistake of coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I leaned on him all the time, man. And our relationship started to do like this, because he was concentrating on trying to win championships. And he sacrificed everything. Like, he cut everybody off to win championship and be great as he possibly can be. And I was over here trying to win scoring titles.
With this 2020 Hall of Fame class, like I said, with Kobe and KG, who kind of paved the way for your leap to Timmy. These guys were all in your same age range, and for all of them to go in with this class, what are your thoughts on this 2020 class?
Man, this is arguably the greatest class of all time thus far. I mean, for sure, you're talking about, you know, one of the greatest shooting guards of all time, Kobe Bryant. There's no argument he's the most skilled shooting guard of all time. There's no argument on that. You know what I mean? Ain't no argument on that. And then you're talking about the big fundamental, Tim Duncan. I mean, my gosh, bro. What that man was able to do for the franchise, all he know is win. Stack, you know, you played with him. You know what I mean? Like, just, that's all he do is win. And the big ticket. The big ticket, I think 2003, 2004, I think that was. Man, I was like, this man is on another planet, bro, the way he was playing. Mm-hmm. He was unguardable, unstoppable, and he was talking shit.
Talking shit, too.
Talking mad shit. And I swear, dog, he probably, it to me, when I played him, seemed like he shot 80% every game. Like, he was unguardable, yeah. Right? Defensively, he was a monster. Timmy, monster. Cole, monster. Like, yo, this class is crazy, man. And it was amazing to compete against those type of dudes, man, that are arguably the greatest at their position.
Mm. Yeah, with KG, a lot of people call KG, you know, people call me the heartbeat of the big three, but they was calling KG the heart and soul of the NBA because the way he played and his passion for the game. People don't know how big of a compliment that is, bro.
Man.
For somebody to say you are the heart and soul of the NBA. Like, that's crazy, bro.
KG, bro, the energy. Like, you can't teach that, bro. You can't teach what he brought
given.
To the
it's
game.
God-given.
It's God-given. You cannot teach that. That man was just, he was so competitive and just so passionate about the game, dog. Like, I look forward to playing against these dudes, especially KG, because KG's 7 foot and out there trying to guard me. And I was letting, Adidas guys, and we used to go at it. I was loving that shit, man.
Yeah.
I relished those opportunities, especially going against Cole, bro. What?
Hey, that's crazy. All four of y'all was Adidas guys. You, Cole, Tim, and KG.
Well, at the time, it was just me and
Cole
me,
KG.
No, Cole wasn't. Cole left.
Yeah, it was you, Chauncey. Hey,
so... Hey, thank you, Cole. I thanks Cole so many times, bro. If it wasn't for Cole leaving Adidas, bro, I wouldn't have got my big deal. I would have got the leftovers. Man, my dog, thank you. Hey, man, when Cole left, yeah. I was next on the totem pole. I moved up the charts, boy, and I got that big bag and
still getting it. I told you my dog overseas every other month promoting shoes, man. Still to this day.
Hell yeah, man.
Still coming out with a brand new pair. He sent them to his boy, too, so I know.
That part.
That's what's up. Tell me, we touched on it a little bit. KG 95, Kobe 96. What did seeing them jump to the league, obviously having two different experiences with those guys, but how did that influence your decision for your jump in 97?
Yeah, so they had a huge impact on me going to the league. And I was 3 years in high school in Florida, and then I moved to North Carolina because I wasn't even ranked, bro, in high school before I moved to North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, I needed that notoriety because a lot of guys that came from my area, they were local heroes. I ain't want to be that. You know what I mean? We all got those people that was the shit in high school, way more talented than us, but they never really went anywhere. I didn't want to do that. So I had to make that jump. I took the chance to go to a place to put me on that national scene. And I moved to Durham, North Carolina. Played on that level where we competed all against all around the country against the top players. But before I got there, I played against Lamar Odom at the Adidas camp. L.O. was the truth in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I ain't know anything about him being in Florida. When I got to New Jersey, bro,
hello, that's a killer.
Man, that's all I heard. Lamar Odom, 6'10 point guard. I said, what? 6'10 point guard? Hey, where I'm from, you 6'10, they gonna make your ass a center, bro.
Yeah.
I said, a 6'10? Man, I got to see this dude, bro. Why he was the first player I played at the camp. I seen this dude skipping down the court, and I was like, ooh, he nice. I got to get him. I got to get, like, this is my chance. Like, I'm not ranked. Nobody, I'm not even supposed to be here, bro. I was the last invite to this camp. I'm not even supposed to be here. I got to have it. So I went out there, bro. I put on a show. My nigga. I left that camp, bro. I was ranked number one.
Damn.
Straight up.
At the one camp.
I came and got that. I came and got
that. Who else was there? Who else was there camp besides L.O.?
You know what? I don't even remember. L.O. was just so damn nice. That's all I kept hearing.
Yeah. You said, fuck everybody else. L.O. was the one, huh?
I didn't care about nobody else, bro. Him. I need to see him. So, you know, went through that. And then, you know, you got the NBA scouts that be at those camps. And they started throwing my name out there. I wanted to go to college, bro. I was going to Kentucky. I took my visit to Kentucky. You had Derek Anderson was my host. And I pulled up to Kentucky campus, bro. And I seen them boys got them fully loaded Eddie Bowers outside. I said, hold up, bro. This where I'm going right here. I don't want to go do no more visits. The player lounge where they stayed, everything was plush. I said, bro, I'm coming. I don't want no more visits. This where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting so time goes by. I'm playing my season. My name getting stronger. Sitting in my coach's office, he's like, I know you want to go to Kentucky. I know you want to go to college, but after I tell you this, you're going to forget all about that. I'm like, after you tell me what? He's like, I got a $12 million deal for you. I say, from who? He said, from Adidas. Oh, shit, let's sign.
What I said, let's sign.
I say, $12 million, bro? He was like, yeah, man. He was like, they want to offer you 6 years, $12 million. My college dream went out the window. I signed for that bag.
So fast.
And that was it, bro. That was it. And then, you know, prior to that, just watching KG, Kobe slam dunk champion, having some success. It's like, why not? It's basketball. I eventually want to play against the best in the world and on the highest level. It's just an early entry. Let's get it.
Who else were you studying back then? Like, before you got into the league, like, what players were you growing up studying and idolizing?
Dog, Penny was my dude.
Of course.
Penny Hardaway. You couldn't tell me shit about Anthony Penny Hardaway, bro.
Y'all kind of similar.
Yep.
Why you think that's why we're number one?
Yeah.
That's why we're number one.
I never knew that.
That's why we're number one. My dog, that was my Michael Jordan, bro. Growing up, because you got to think, he played for the Magic. I grew up 30 miles right down the street,
right,
so I watched him every single day. And, bro, Penny, man, Penny was the truth, bro.
Hell yeah, Lord. People don't forget. Oh, they forget how cold Penny would have been, one of the greatest players,
ever.
Hands down, if had it not
ever.
Been injury.
Yes, sir.
Penny was a killer.
So that was my dude, man. Footwork, you know, passing ability. He was cold, man.
Mm-hmm. Man, Penny was the truth. Total package.
So, 1997, you decide to make that jump. Tim Duncan goes number one. You go 9. Jack goes second round, 42. You didn't experience, obviously, immediate success. You know, you had a lot of woes. And I remember it was crazy because you're 1 year older than me, so I'm in college. And my mom was always reading the papers. And I remember she sent me an article on you on how, you know, you're doubting if you made the right decision. You were having just a really hard time transitioning because you weren't playing. You're in Canada. Talk to us and take us back there, because a lot of people don't remember. This is pre-social media.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have someone following what was going on, people don't remember how hard the beginning of your career was.
Yeah, so you got to think, you take a kid that's from, you know, Central Florida.
The country.
Country boy.
Take a kid from Central Florida and then you put him up in Canada. Like, I ain't know anything about Canada. I ain't know nothing about Toronto. didn't know the legal age was 19 years old, man. So I get to training camp, and I realized, like, this is really my first time playing against professionals. So we had a little mini camp in Barbados. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm 18 years old. So I'm thinking, all right, they professionals. They could do everything. Use left hand, right hand, turn left shoulder, turn right shoulder. You know what I mean? They could do it all. They skilled. Bro, I started seeing some dudes out there like, really? He can't use his left hand? He can't go left? He can't go right? He can't shoot over his left shoulder? Because I know the game, and I was shocked, bro. I was like, oh, my God. I know what I got to work on. But then we get to the season. I'm working like crazy. My coach ain't feeling me at all, bro. At all. Man.
Who was the coach at the time?
Darryl Walker.
Darryl Walker.
And the reason I think Darryl Walker got that job, I don't know if y'all remember when the Pistons played Utah. And Isaiah Thomas went up for a layup, and Karl Malone came across his head and gave him like 25 stitches or something. Man, he fucked Zeke up, bro. Darryl Walker came off the bench and went at. He came off the bench and went at Karl Malone.
Went Karl Malone, yeah.
He went at him, dog. So you know they was boys. But dude wasn't feeling me, man. I remember, I'm pumped. We playing against the Magic. You know, I'm playing against my dog, right? And I get in the game, bro. I'm excited as hell. I'm guarding Penny. I get a steal, bro. I go down. Bitch, I'm windmill. I'm trying to put on the show. I windmill. Next dead ball. Bro, what you doing?
What?
You don't fucking shit.
You made
what
it, you doing? Right?
Bro, took me out the game, bro, for showing off. I'm looking at this guy. It's like he was fucking with me like that. You know what I'm saying? And that shit was getting in my head, bro. So that's the times that I was reaching out to Cole. Like, bro, what did you do? He was like, man, just stay within your self-confidence and keep working, bro. He was like, I promise you, you'll get through this shit. So that's what I was doing. I just kept working. And man, who helped me out the most was that damn Doug Christie, bro. I played Doug Christie, man.
Shout out to Doug Christie, bro.
I love Doug. I played Doug one-on-one every day. We were just going at each other, man. And that's how I was working on my one-on-one game and building my confidence up, because I know he was a great defender. Like, he was a hell of a defender. And to go up against him every day, I'd be ready for whatever. So I just started, you know, playing against him, building that confidence up. And we got Buddy up out of there. By All-Star break, got him up out of there. Butch Carter took over, and shit, my game went like that, man. I ain't looked back. Mm-hmm.
So that was what? Was that year two or the end of year one?
No, that was first year. First year.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Crazy. So Vince Carter comes in town.
Second year.
1998, second year. Comes and takes the league by storm. Was that a rumor or is that real life your cousin?
No, we're cousins.
Okay, they're real cousins. Our grandmothers
are related.
Okay. Two jumping ass motherfuckers. So what was it like?
Nah, bro. That's next level. You dig? That's next level jumping ability right there. And what this man used to do, I mean, Stat, you played against him in high school? Y'all played against him in high school?
No, I seen him live in high school one time.
So before I knew we were cousins, I played on junior team Florida, and he was on the older team. He played before me. I played before him, and when
team
I played
Florida, yep.
Team Florida,
Team Florida.
So
yeah,
this is before I knew we was related. I'll play first, and then our team would sit and watch, bro. I ain't know a human can jump like this, bro. Like, this man was going up, palming a ball, looking in the basket, and was just dropping it like that. He was going up, damn near touching the backboard, and just dropping the ball like this. I'm like, oh my God, skill crazy. So I had a good relationship with our coach. I was like, bro, we got to get Vince Carter, bro. We got a good, and he's the most skilled. And to have us two as two wings at that time, I mean, it was crazy what we could accomplish. Along with the vets, what we had. Mm-hmm. And we drafted Vince, man. Vince came in there and The shit he was doing was just unbelievable for a rookie. That windmill he did baseline against Indiana on Chris Mullins.
Oh, my God.
Went by Chris Mullins.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That man, dog, he had us jumping. He had us jumping out of our seats. We were fans. So right. I can only imagine how some of the dudes felt that played against me and some of the shit I was doing. I was a fan. I know that was my cousin, my teammate. God damn it, I was a fan, bro. He was incredible. That shit was incredible to see what he was doing, man.
Hey, Vince handle was so underrated. Vince had handle. Yeah. People didn't know he had some quick stuff with his handle, but he had handle, dog.
Yeah,
he had, and it was always under control where he'll hit you with something, but it was in control well enough where he can get that one two. And if he get that one two, that's your ass.
You know why, Stacks? Because he had them big ass hands, bro.
Hell,
he was controlling the ball, them big ass hands.
Hell,
that's why he ain't moving. And once he got control of it, it was no blocking his shot because he's elevating. He was damn near looking at his balls when he was goddamn shooting the ball. Bro. Like, pause. But yo, man, he was crazy, dog.
But just pure skill. I got a chance to play with him later when he was in Orlando. Not later, but in Orlando probably 2009. But just pure, just regular form shooting jump shot from half court.
When y'all bust our ass in the first round of playoffs, Matt.
When we beat the brakes off y'all, shooting left-handed just like you shoot right-handed.
Just like his right hand. Just
pure
just like
skill.
His right.
Man, Vince was motherfucking,
absolutely.
Pure
so. And Vince helped a lot as well because he reached that stardom extremely quick. So I was able to sit back and watch how he handled himself, you know, reaching stardom. Mm-hmm. And it helped me when I reached my potential and was able to, you know, be that type of player. But yeah, he was incredible, man.
How come you guys never got to take off? Or how big could you guys have been if you would have been able to hit your stride at the same time with Toronto?
We would have played for a championship. I mean, we would have faced the Lakers. If I would have stayed, there's no doubt about that. But it was so much stuff going on in Toronto with the organization. There was no way I could have stayed. And then, I mean, got the opportunity to you're competing against, you know, Orlando, where I'm from. That's tough.
No brainer.
How was it like playing against MJ your rookie year?
Shaking in my boots. First time. shaking in the first time I had to guard. I'm like, yo, this. Man, first of all, let me go back. 1997, MJ them in the playoffs. I think they played against the Hawks, right? I'm at the game, playoff game. Bruh, I got an opportunity to go in the back by the locker room after the game. So I'm standing back there. I'm 17 years old, kid. I've never been around NBA players like this or even, you know, I've never been around somebody like MJ. I'm standing back there, kid, and Pip comes out. All these players start coming out. Mike comes around that corner. Bruh, I ain't gonna lie to you. The man had a glow, bro. I swear, Mike, dog, that shit is real.
I believe it.
That shit is real.
Hey, KG said the same thing. You just feel his energy. He'll say shit. You feel that energy.
I'm not joking, bro.
It's
real.
Man, I'm telling you.
Mike came out. I was like, damn, bro. I ain't know what to say, man. I was like, that's MJ, dog. That's MJ. So fast forward, I'm on the court with him for my rookie year. It took me about a quarter to get over the fact that this might, right? But man, once it wore, you know, that mystique wears off if you're around somebody for a long time. It wears off. It's like, okay, shit, let's get it. I damn near had my best game as a rookie playing against it. I almost had a triple-double. Mm. In front of 30,000. You know, we played in the Sky Dome. 30,000 Mike had them coming in there, bro. And that was the year they had, what, 72-10? Yeah, we
in
was
Toronto.
One of them, we was one of them 10.
Yeah, in Toronto. Yeah, good game.
Hell yeah.
You and Mike both had good games that game.
Hey, Mike had about 35. he probably had about 12 on me. Easy. I'm like, man, this Mike, bro. I had to get his ass back when he was with the Wizards, though.
Yeah.
Like, your ass 38 years old, you putting up 50, you still got game, but you got to get this work.
You got to come get some of this shit. With Jordan going down or retiring in 98, It ushers in a new era of wings. Yourself, Kobe, Vince, Paul Pierce, Grant before his injury. What was that new era like? You touched on, you know, the end of Jordan's era, and now we have a whole new different type of wings. Tell me what that era of wing game was like.
Man, you had a challenge every night, bro. I mean, you're talking about some of the greats that ever played a game. Paul, Kobe, Vince, AI, Big Dog, Ray Allen. Man, Reggie Miller was still getting buckets. Bro, Stack, shit, you used to get buckets too. y'all ass used to get buckets. I ain't gonna leave you out of that, Wings. But it was a challenge, bro. You really had to bring that game. Like it wasn't no bullshitting around. Like you talking about some killers, man. Some real killers that
every night.
Oh, you don't get your rest, or if you ain't locked in, you're gonna get embarrassed.
It's gonna be a long night.
It's gonna be every a long night. Night, man. I'm talking about, you know, them guys right there, they sense any weakness or any type of fear, they gonna tear your damn head off. And I didn't want to be that. I had to make sure I was prepared.
One of my best videos says Tracy McGrady visit Steven Jackson highlights, right? Y'all got to go check this out. So it's supposed to be highlights of me and Tracy, right? Going head up. If you watch the video, it showed about 28 of Tracy points and about six and about six of them.
This when you was with Atlanta? When you was with Atlanta?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. They showed about 28 of Tracy shit and they showed about six of my points. So yeah, man. That's probably how the game went. That's probably how the game went, too.
hey, Stack, I'm for real shit. Now, I hated guarding you, bro, because I can never block your shot. I don't know how the hell you shoot the ball
Why
like that.
Why everybody say that shit, man?
Can never block your shot. And Matt,
CP said the same thing.
Look, Matt always taking some cheap shots and shit and act like he ain't do nothing. That's how that motherfucker was.
We had to be aggressive with your ass, especially because you were someone, like I said at the beginning of the show, like you had the hang drill, which was unfair because as soon as we go for that, you go by us and dunk it. But if you actually shot, there was no way in hell to block your shot because you jumped like 3 feet off the ground just to get your jumper off. So we had to try to beat you up. There ain't no other choice. There ain't no other way.
I knew how to play.
T-Mac, you gotta say that though, T-Mac. You gotta go and tell everybody the famous hang dribble move that you started. Please tell everybody where Kobe got it from.
Nah, they know. They know. Man, look. That was my go-to. Bro, Kobe was a student of the game. I was a student of the game. Whatever it takes to get better, I'm gonna take that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took some of Kobe shit.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. I took some of that. Like, that's how you become great, man. You gotta watch other people and take bits and pieces of that game. That's just how it is. I mean, you'll be a fool not to. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And that's what I did. That hang dribble, that was just my thing, bro. Being 6'9", lower your ass to sleep and just rise up over you. I don't think you can do anything about that.
Absolutely who takes, you know who uses that now to perfection?
KD.
KD.
And Paul George.
KD, yeah. Though.
KD's deadly with it. At 6'11", deadly with it, bro. It's tough to guard, especially when you got quickness. You got that ball on the string like that, you got a Jimmy. Hey, man.
Yeah, I don't give a damn what type.
Nah, it's nothing you could do, bro.
Nothing you could do with it.
Nah.
So you're traded from Toronto to Orlando. Grant Hill traded from Detroit to Orlando. Grant Hill, to me, along with Penny Hardaway, like you mentioned, a healthy Grant Hill would have been top 10 all time as well. Graded one of the greatest players, was a killer. Similar to yourself, silent about it, just went about his business. You guys joined forces in your hometown. Talk to us about that.
Man, I knew because it was me. I don't even want to do that order. Me first. It was Timmy, Grant, and then myself. Like, they were trying to get all three of us.
Talk to us, because people forgot that Tim almost went there. He spoke on it a little bit, too.
He almost left. But I just found this out later, that the reason he didn't come is because Doc told him, I guess the spouses couldn't fly on the plane. That was a deal breaker. That was the deal breaker. That's what I found out. I about cried when I found that out.
Hey, T-Mac, that's a true story, dog. That was the deal breaker. I heard that same story.
Bro, damn. Come on. I got to pull a doctor's side on that one, bro. but, you know, it's me and Grant. Me and Grant, Eastern Conference. I'm excited. And I knew Grant had broke his ankle because I was watching him in the Miami series when he was getting buckets against them. He was still playing on it. But I thought he was going to heal from it. But we was there for 4 years, and I think we only played 47 games with each other. And it was so sad, man, because I knew how bad he wanted to be out there. And I knew the potential that we could possibly have reached. But it just didn't happen. And then he was having surgery on his ankle and shit got infected. And
almost lost his leg, right?
Yeah, almost lost his leg, man. It was just, it was a bad time for him, man. And I'm still trying to do what I'm able to do. I mean, it actually gave me an opportunity to really
come into my own
quickly than, you know, I really wanted to. I wanted to learn behind him, follow his lead. I mean, Grant, the truest professional that you ever come across.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And
hey, what?
Smart all as hell. Aspects. Yeah, smart as hell, man. And it was just unfortunate for both of us, really, for our whole team.
Yeah, Grant Hill's somebody who people always ask me who I looked up to coming up, and Grant Hill was one of those guys I patted my game after. And to this day, I talk to him and get a lot of advice from him and conversate with him about a lot of things. But when your fourth year in your league, T-Mac, you went from 15 points to 26. Like, that was a defining year for you. Like, what clicked that year?
Well, it's just the work, man. It was the work that I put in, and you really know who you are in the league. Your third or fourth year, you know who you're going to be. Mm-hmm. You know who you're going to be and shit. That was just my time. Like I said, Grant going down, I had to speed up my process. I had to speed up my ability to carry a team. You know, I kind of would have been in the back burner, learning from him, letting him do his thing, learning from him, still chipping in and you know, my game growing. But it had to grow, like, at a rapid rate, because he was down, and they threw me the keys, and that was it. It was me. No other All-Stars. It was just me with some great role players.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never really experienced too much success there. Nah. You know, obviously a lot of individual accolades. Personally, you know, like I said, that's when you really defined who you were as a bona fide superstar. What did you learn from that experience that it was, you know, like you said, it was you and role players. What was that psychologically like? Because superstars are looked at to get their team to that next level. So what did you learn from that experience in Orlando?
Shit, that you need help.
He said, hey, fuck, I done did everything I could motherfucker do. What else you want me to do, goddamn?
Listen, bro, I mean,
Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
Hey, this shit is going down.
Look who I was going up against, dog. You look at that Detroit team, they was the number one seed, tough defensive team. You look at the Milwaukee team I played in the playoffs with Sam Cassell, Ray Allen, Ray, Big Dog, Glenn Thomas. Woo. You see what I'm saying? Oh, you try to go up against them and you ain't got no other potential All-Star on your team. You know how tough that is?
Yeah, man. That's damn impossible.
Listen, you won a championship. You played with Tim Duncan, Manu, Tony Parker, all All-Stars. Yep. Matt, you won a championship. How many All-Stars you played with? Four?
It was four
of them, right? Dog, that's tough, bro. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn how great you are. Listen, Kobe's, to me, is the greatest of our era, bro. When Shaq left, he found out how hard it was the 2 years. Man, I tell everybody, bro, I don't care how great you are individually. If you ain't got no other dogs with you, man, you can forget about it, bro. You ain't going to win in this league. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're not going to win. That's just what it is. And that's what I learned. I was like, man, I'm getting burnt out. I'm doing what I can. I'm competing against teams that are, you know, loaded with these all-stars, and then they got great role players. Hey, man, I can only win you a few games, man. Shit, I'm trying to win the series. I'm trying, bro. I promise
People keep forgetting Tim had David Robinson, too.
Yes, bro.
We had David Robinson, too.
Hey, man, you got to have a team. You got to have great players to win. I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is.
Period.
We all know.
Point blank, period. So 2004, you traded to Houston for Steve Francis, Coutinho, Mobley. You get a chance to team up with Big Yao and Jeff Van Gundy. You win 51 games your first season. Tell me what that experience was like.
The minute I got traded there, I had a conversation with Jeff Van Gundy. So mind you, I'm just coming off of NBA scoring title 2 years in a row. So I get I get to Houston, and the first thing he tell me, he was like, "You're not gonna lead the league in scoring." Damn.
First thing.
I'm like,
welcome to Houston. Yeah, hey, welcome to the team.
He's like, I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to lead the league in scoring. I'm like, damn, what's going to happen? So, it was basically just like, you know, we got a 7'5", 7'6", dude that, you know, we got to get the ball to. We're going to play inside out. I never played with a big dude, so... It was an adjustment for me to play with a big guy. The pace was slower. I mean, I had to change my whole game on how I went about it. It was a struggle in the beginning. I'm not even gonna lie. It was a struggle to, when I got a fast break, I gotta slow that thing down, let big fella catch up, get to the post. All right, here, boom, cut. You know what I'm saying? And it was challenging. But then we started. He knew we had to start to put the pieces around myself and Yao. And then once we did that, we started winning some ball games. But, you know, yeah, it was challenging playing with the big fella at times. But once we got it, once we figured it out, man, I mean, shit, we was great together.
Y'all was a deadly combo. We played y'all in Golden State. And remember, Al had to go at y'all.
Too big. Hey, too big.
Listen, bro.
We had Al go at y'all.
Oh, we used to try to kill Al, whoever was, because y'all played that small ball.
Man, so small, yeah.
whoever was guarding y'all, they was going to have a long night because we were going to feed. I didn't care about scoring that. Hey, big fella, you going to work tonight, because there was nothing y'all could do with him. Y'all had to double.
Hey, Al used to say his whole body was fucked up. Al wouldn't even want to play in those games. Al would get pissed off because that was the kind of – Nelly used to fuck with Al, so he would start him randomly, but he always started him against Yao, and Al used to hate that shit.
He did him so dirty, man. You can't – come on, man. What Al going to do with that big fella, man? And he had left hand, he had right hand. Can't do nothing about that, bro. And the crazy thing about it – We would have faced y'all in the playoffs that year if we had beat Utah. Yeah, we would have faced y'all.
We was preparing to run y'all motherfuckers' asses out the gym too, because we had finally clicked.
Yeah,
we had finally got our chemistry, so we like, fuck it, we can't guard y'all, but there's no way he guarding all of our pick and rolls and our.
But we wanted the Rockets, Matt.
That's what I'm saying.
We wanted the Rockets.
Everybody wanted us. If you can play small, no. This is what I'm saying. Everybody wanted to play against us because in the play, if you could go small ball, it was tougher because y'all had to guard somebody. You know what I'm saying? You had to guard one of the perimeter. That's what made it tough. And Avery Johnson figured that out. Man, we had Yao guard Marquise Daniels and Josh Howard, bro.
That ain't gonna work.
You know what I'm saying? He can't do nothing with that. And he can't guard Dirk.
Right, no way. How talented was Yao? Because he had a quick career. You got a chance to play with him for a good chunk of it. For his size, how skilled was he?
Bro, he was extremely skilled. Like I said, left hand, right hand. I felt sorry for him at times because Thibodeau had Yao working so damn hard before every game, man. I'm like, bro, he gonna wear down. Like, he was killing Yao before the game. He was putting in that work. But highly skilled. I'm talking about can dribble the ball, can make the right passes, not just, you know, making a pass anyway, passing on target for you to get in your shot. He sees the floor well. Left hand, right hand. He shot 80%+ from the damn foul line. He had it, bro. He was highly skilled. One of them, probably most skilled big man that, you know, I can remember.
The whole package, yeah.
Yeah, he had the whole package.
Yeah.
And then obviously combining with him obviously has helped your success over in China. You know, getting a chance to play next to him and you guys being running mates and stars together.
It elevated it. Because what a lot of people don't know, when I was with the Magic, I had the number one selling jersey in China.
Steve Jackson knew that.
So being with Yao, I mean, man, it obviously elevated, you know, my brand. Mm-hmm. So we played, I don't know if y'all remember the kid, Yi Jillian or Yi, whatever his name, that played for Milwaukee.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the next one. Yeah.
So he played,
yeah, so he played. It was a night we played them. He was with Milwaukee. Bro, don't you know over 200 people watched that game because of him and Yao? Like, I mean,
wow.
More 200 than people million, watched, you said?
200 yeah. million, bro, watched that game because of them two boys right there. So, I mean, it elevated everybody's brand that was a part of the Rockets organization, not just mine. It elevated everybody.
So over the next four seasons, man, this is when your body somewhat starts, you know, the injuries start piling on. Back, elbow, knees. You're sent to New York in 2009, 2010. Talk to us about that injury process, because like you said, you led the league in scoring. Like I said, you were one of the most gifted scorers I've ever seen. Blessed to get a chance to play against you. But just from a fan's perspective, it was so effortless with you. So when you're facing these fucking injuries where you can't go out and be Tracy McGrady, what is that like mentally?
It was tough because I remember, I think it was 2008, we're in the playoffs against Utah. Yao is out. He got hurt that year, that same year that we had the 22-game win streak. So that season, we're in Utah. And I'm sitting down on my couch. We get to the hotel, sitting down on the couch. I went to prop my leg up and sit it on the footstool. My leg wouldn't extend out. I was trying hard as hell. And I was like, oh, my God, bro. What the hell? I knew something was wrong. So I went through that season. We play Utah in the playoffs. We're losing six games. That game six that we lost, I had 40. Every game, I had to get a shot at my knee. I couldn't play. So I got a shot at my knee after the game, drain all that fluid, needle like this. You know what I mean? Draining all that fluid out. So I'm thinking, all right, you know, just got to get my knee cleaned out, and then we'll be good. Man, go have arthroscopic surgery. We got run our tests. I'm like, bro, we about to chill, at least compete for once. This what I've been waiting on. I got run our tests. I got Shane Battier. I got Skip, myself, Yao. We got some of these young players that have matured. Are we ready for it? Go through the season. I ain't right. I'm on one leg. I'm still trying to play. I'm on one leg, bro. I can't. I'm scared to even jump off of my left leg. Everything was right leg. So we're in Milwaukee. I get a break coming down on a break. Somebody is chasing me. So I want to go up on the other side of the rim and try to dunk it. I got hung. Embarrassed myself. At that point, I was like, I am not playing another game until I find out what's going on with my knee. We get to the locker room. You know Rafer Austin. Rafer got a sense of humor. Like he like Skip, no matter what type of moment it is, Skip got to throw in a joke, right? He got to throw in a joke. So he started making jokes about shit. Run, mad. Man, like, yo, man, that shit ain't funny. And I'm saying it ain't funny, right? But anyways, after that, I shut it down, man, and I went to see a few doctors. And they told me, bro, I got some bad news. You ain't got no more cartilage in your knee. I don't even know why you was playing. Because that cartilage is done. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. We got to have another surgery? He's like, yeah, you got to have surgery, but you got to have microscopic surgery. And Kenyon Martin, Stoudemire, I knew what it had did for them. I was like, yo, man, this ain't good. At that point, I realized, bro, at that point when that man told my doctor told me that I had to have arthroscopic surgery, I mean, microfracture surgery.
Microfracture surgery.
It was over. I knew I wasn't going to be that dude again. And that was the most devastating thing. I mean, I can't even tell you how depressed I was to know that I'm on this level. Mm-hmm. And then I'm down here now, and I never reached that level again, bro. I was hurt. And on top of that, to add fuel to the fire, my playoffs struggles is in the past, you know, was bothering me. And then I got an opportunity to have success now with the team that we have, and I'm not able to be out there with them.
Be your best.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It just crushed me, bro. So I'm sitting back in Chicago is where I had my surgery, and I'm watching my team compete against Portland. They beat Portland. Y'all gets hurt. We play the Lakers. The next round, second round, we played the Lakers. Y'all gets hurt. They take the Lakers to 7 games without winning without y'all. Come on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know how devastated I was? I was out of there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, man.
I was out of there, bro. That shit hurt me.
I can imagine. And then you going through all that, and you watching your peers, you watching Kobe, you watching Duncan, you watching Piers, you watching Dirk. They all get championships. You know what I'm saying? Why you sitting there trying to get back to that level to play? What was that feeling like, bro? I know that was devastating.
It was extremely devastated because I was on that level. Them boys win a championship. And KG goes to Boston, win a chip first year. I'm like, man. Because before that, KG was like, he was having playoff struggles in Minnesota.
Until
he got Sam Cassell and Sprewell and them boys. Like, until he got some dogs over there with him, he was able to make it to the Western Conference Finals. But prior to that, man, it was like, it was tough on him. And then he got out of Minnesota and got with some got some dogs in Boston and won that chip. Like, it's timing is everything, bro. And that timing for me was just that's why making it to the Hall of Fame, I'm like, just
that's holding. Everything.
It's everything to me. It's because I look back on the shit that I went through.
The struggles, right?
Yeah, man. It was everything.
We try to give people a perspective, not knowing. Obviously, that's devastating. Career news, life, you know, this is what we work out our whole life. But what is life like off the court? You know what I mean? In your day-to-day with your family and friends, people don't understand, like, how this is our life. We've trained our whole entire life to do this. And then you, like you said, you were the upper level. You were on your way. So to have to deal with it on the court, but what was like life off the court?
Going through that struggle?
Yeah.
I was depressed.
The injury struggle.
I was depressed, bro. I've never been depressed in my life. I was depressed, man. I was in Chicago doing my rehab, and I had to lay in my bed for 8 hours with my leg in a machine for 8 weeks.
So what was the machine doing?
It was having the blood circulate.
Moving your knee?
Yeah, it was
circulating the blood.
Yeah, it was moving my leg back and forth. It would get that blood to flow in my knee. Bro, you talking about depressing at those times. And then I'm watching my boys on TV compete without me. I'm here in Chicago. I was messed up. Never been in that situation. It was all bad, you know. Great thing about it, my kids, once the summer came, because this happened in February when I had my surgery. And then once my kids got out of school, my family came to Chicago, and that really helped me get through it. But I was up there by myself, and it was, I was out of there, bro. I was like, man, F this game. I don't even want to play no more. Like, mentally, I was ejected from the game.
Well, it seems like you got to think, like, I mean, you have the world screaming your name 1 second, cheering for you, T-Mac this, T-Mac that. I got my own shoe, I'm this, I'm that. And then,
gone.
And like this. You're all by yourself in a dark room in Chicago with nobody to turn to.
Gone. You know what I mean? You went from MVP chance, 20,000 people, entertaining at the highest level. And I can't even reach that level no more. I don't get no chance. It went from T-Mac to Tracy.
hey, you know what, though? I know.
Hey, oh, that's Tracy right there. Hey, what up, Tracy? What up, dog? Ain't T-Mac no more, dog. That he gone.
Hey, but this go to your credit. from making the Hall of Fame, even though you went through all the injuries and everything.
Facts.
As far as us and the people that's over the game and watch the game,
we knew
what it was. We know what it was. We knew what it should have been, and we know how injuries happen in the game. But everybody know when it comes down to it, you, Brandon Roy, and another other guy, Grant Hill, guys that wouldn't have been hurt. We already know where y'all would have been going down when it's all said and done.
Penny, but
y'all deserve that Hall of Fame, though. Y'all deserve that.
You know what? That's really that all that matters is that your peers understand and they respect what we brought to the table. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? Y'all had to face me, you know, all them nights. You know what I mean?
Ooh, Lord.
Like, that's the respect. That's the only thing that matters to me is that I got y'all respect.
No question.
That's it.
No question. Yep. Well, this is where you and Jack's path cross in a different way. 2013, I'm going to let Jack address this because I don't even know if he knows how he was on the plane when Pop had your ass already knowing your
strength. No. We talked about it.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
Man, listen. Yeah. When Pop,
hold on, Jack. Picture this.
So picture this. I'm in the locker room, in the film room actually, having my best practice of the year, just bust their ass in practice. And Pop is telling me that he gonna bring the team there for me to give Danny Green and Ginobili confidence. He want me to say they better than me. And during the time he's asking me to say this, T-Mac is already in the air, okay? He already in the plane. He already on the plane on the way to San Antonio. So Pop already knew. Pop, you know damn well I'm not gonna say Jordan.
I can't believe he tried you. Tried you like that though.
But listen, hey, you know why? Because Pop is one of the smartest people. He knew what my reply was going to be before he asked me that. That's right. Why you was already on the plane. Yeah. He knew I was going to walk out.
He knew you was going to cut yourself?
He knew I was going to make it worse, man. He knew I was going to make it worse just walk out.
So let me tell you how that went down, right? So I remember that vividly. Like, I got out of church. And I checked my phone, and there was a missed call from Pop. Mind you, I've been on my couch for 2 months because I just got back. So I'm going to back up a little bit. So once I was done with the league, right, I went to China. I had to get that feeling back because I know if I go to China, I'm going to get that love back, that passion back, because I know they're going to bring it out of me, right?
And they support you.
I want to be celebrated again. I want to see how that feels because I had to work my ass off to get back healthy. Like, I worked so hard to get back healthy. It took me, like, a year and a half, 2 years before I was even pain-free after that surgery. So I go to China for 4 months, playing the CBA.
How old are you at this point? Not to cut you off, T. How old are you at this point?
Man, I think I'm 32.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, 30, still young.
Yeah, man.
And it's prime.
Like 32,
damn.
Bro.
Damn.
So I go over there for 4 months, sold the whole CBA out, sold it out. And come back home. I'm home for 2 months, not working out, just chilling with the fam. I come out of church, missed phone call for Pop. I called him, Pop, what's going on? He was like, hey, I got some guys that are injured. You know, I want you to...
Hey, this is like getting information like your girlfriend was fucking with somebody else type information right now.
Hey, you say, I got some guys that were injured. I need another body. I need to come down. I was like, Pop, I haven't done anything for 2 months, bro. He's like, don't worry about that. We'll get you in shape. So I drive down. I didn't fly stack because, you know, I'm right here in Houston. So I drive to San Antonio. It's the last game of the season. I get there. It's like, yo. He's like, I can't promise you that you're going to play any minutes, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm like, all right. Out of respect, because it was Pop. That's the only reason I went down there. But I was done with basketball, bro. I was mentally done. But out of respect, I went down there. So I get there, I'm working, playing one-on-one against Boris Diaw. That skilled motherfucker, man. Dog, Boris Diaw is so skilled, bro.
I tell people that all the time.
They don't know how skilled that big slippery motherfucker was, boy.
I don't care if Boris Diaw 220 or 280. Bro, he still is a problem. You dig?
The most skilled person in the gym, dog.
Yes, bro. So I'm playing, you know, one-on-one against them boys, getting in shape. playoffs roll around. We played against the Lakers. Got in a little bit, point guard against the Lakers. Then we play against, I think it was Golden State. And Pop came to me, he was like, I don't want you chasing these boys around. He was like, you know, we make it to the next round, which was Memphis. He was like, be ready. I was like, man, I'm ready. First of all, it was disrespectful to me that you come to me talking about you don't want me chasing these boys around as if I can't play the game. You know what I mean? I may have slowed down a little bit, but I still know how to play the game. So,
and you can thank it.
I was like, okay, I don't want to cause no scene. Hey, I'm going on for the ride. So we get to the Western Conference Finals. We play against the Grizzlies. Tammy on the bus, like, you ready? I was like, bro, I've been waiting for this my whole career. What you mean?
Talk about
hell
it.
Hell yeah, I'm ready.
Don't see the court.
But I ain't see them a minute, bro. I'm sitting there like, damn, this hard? All right. I can't say nothing, Stat. You know when you're on those, you can't say nothing.
I was out of there because I was saying something.
I am Tracy. I am Tracy. I ain't T-Mac.
He not T-Mac no more.
I can't say nothing. I can't say nothing. I got to sit there like, bro, we get to the finals. Man, Stat, when I tell you the media was talking to me every day like I was a star, bro. That, like, they was coming to me every day. So I'm like, man, just let me say the right thing so I could possibly get some burn or something. You keep on working. So I'm working crazy, right? Game one, get there. No minutes. Game two, damn, all right, shit. Pop, walking up and down. I'm looking at him, just like this. Because he's trying to find somebody to put in. I'm making eye contact with that bitch. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm showing it.
Yeah, like, nigga, I'm don't ready. Say, you see it in my motherfucking eyes? I'm
don't
ready.
See, I'm talking about, there's about 2 minutes left in the game, bro. Game over with. We up by 20. He going to put me in the game. I was like, okay, I got to eat this. So we get to game six, 5 and 6. I'm sitting there, Manu struggling. I want to raise my hand.
He had been struggling all year.
Struggling.
Danny Green had been struggling all year though.
Bro, they struggling. Tony out here about to die because LeBron on him. He tired as hell. We ain't got another playmaker. I'm like, come on, bro. I've been waiting on this moment. This is what I thrive on. Man, I ain't seen the court at all, bro. Mm. Lost game 7. fly back to to San Antonio. I thank Pop. I was back in Houston the next day. Like, I wasn't even going to go to the parade, man, or nothing. I left 2 days later, and I flew to China when it got a bag. But that's how that
man,
went.
Man, that's just, crazy,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, just
that's
out
crazy,
of respect,
dog.
Man, I had to go down there. But, you know, it was a great experience. It was, that culture is crazy. It's unbelievable how they do things down there, man. I never seen anything like it. Flying back home from the games every night, you got thousands of fans out there. I was
waiting on you. Yeah,
bro, it was a crazy experience, man. I loved every bit of it, but I wish I would have got some burn though, because I could have helped the boys.
It came down to one rebound, T-Mac. It came down to one rebound.
And Timmy wasn't in the game.
And Timmy wasn't in the game.
But I mean, listen, man. If they would have won that championship, I know I was on the team. I'm a competitor, bro. I can't go through that journey and have satisfaction with that. You know what I'm saying? It would have been cool for them to get that ring, but it was hard for me to even accept if we had won that. I got to go through the journey. The journey is what makes that fulfilling. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through the
journey. That's vital.
It would have been good to have in your house, though, T-Mac. It would have been good to have by all those other awards. It would have been good to have been sitting there shining, looking real good in that box, baby.
Nah,
it would have been looking good in that house.
But Mac, I feel you. And not even, obviously, I wasn't a standpoint to who you were, but the culmination of my career, when people say you won a ring, I don't count that for the exact same reason you said. I was playing good leading up. I came in when KD went down. Play consistent 20, 25 minutes. The game, KD comes back. I get hurt maybe a week before the playoffs, and I'm out of it. Worst ankle sprain of my life. I'm not healthy until the end of the second round where they're already 8-0. So me being a vet, knowing they're not going to change the rotation. I don't expect them to change the rotation. I'm just going to sit here and be a super vet and cheer these motherfuckers on, talk to people when they need to be talking to, and just enjoy the ride. So the fact, so I'm kind of on the other. We did win it, but I feel, God, it's amazing to hear you say, because I don't count that ring. That ring is still in. Shout out Raymond Ritter, the best media dude, mogul. For the Golden State Warriors, that thing is sitting in his office.
Ray.
I don't count that as a championship, bro. I don't count. I played 14 years.
Hold on, Matt. Your ring is in Ray's office right now.
Yeah, because I got. The best part about it was the Twins got to enjoy the ride. So the Twins were front. You couldn't tell my motherfucking kids they weren't on the court. They were right up there with Steph and KD trying to grab the trophies and all. I'm in the back chilling.
And they got
chilling.
Their own rings.
Yeah, it's like they got. So memories the boys got their own rings.
Remember, dog.
For life. That was the absolute best part. And I think, you know, KD, Steph, Dre, Clay, I got a free ride. I got a free ring. So that's when they say NBA champ. I don't count myself as an NBA champ for the exact same reason you said. Like, the journey is what makes you want to say, like, yeah, I helped. I didn't sweat. I wasn't in the motherfucking dog hole with these dudes. I didn't get to guard LeBron or none of these other Kawhis. Yeah, so man. I didn't count my shit. Yeah, so I feel you. It's interesting to hear you say that.
That's how I feel, dog. We competitors, bro. We want to go through straight that up. Shit. You know what I'm saying? We want to go straight through up. It. Want to go through that emotional ride through the season and again, get rewarded, you know, for what we've been through. I don't just want that shit to be Come handed on, to me without going through it.
Uh-uh. Oh, man. Don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing.
Like that.
It don't mean nothing.
Hey, Matt, take me back to when you was in Phoenix. What happened to you and Skip, bro, when Shaq came and knocked us all? You remember that?
He had threw a dirty shot at me, like swung and like hit me in the nuts the time down before. Oh, so I came down and just tried to headset a hard ass screen on him. Cause me and Skip are cool. He was Fresno State. My AU team was based in Fresno. I've been looking up to Skip for a long time, but he liked to talk shit, and he had hit me in the nuts one time. So I came down and just tried to clean his ass out.
So,
but if you look back on that, Steve Nash got drugged and Shaq pushed a whole two teams down on one push.
So I'm coming down the court.
You was in that motherfucker.
I'm coming down the court, right, on the right side. And I think Skip was coming over to set a screen. I'm looking at y'all two. Like, what the hell? So I rise up, hit the three, and all hell breaks through. I'm looking at y'all two. I'm trying to go and break it up. Steve Nash come in there. I pushed the shit out of Steve Nash. Next thing you know, I'm falling on top of y'all. I'm like, who the hell pushed me? I look back at this big fella. Well, he cleared everything out.
Everybody, bro. Shaq pushed everybody. You can say what you want. Motherfuckers don't understand how strong that big motherfucker is, man.
I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson playing with Shaq, bro. Man, it was one time, dog. Shaq was going up. I came over to try to smack down on him, the fouling. Bro, I about broke my goddamn arm, bro. That was the last time I ever tried to come down on Shaq like that. Forget about
it. Man, it's forearms by that big, bro.
Forearms
by that big, dog.
That shit wasn't right, man.
Who was the one matchup you looked forward to every night? I know there was a lot in your era, but who was the one, like tonight, we going at it tonight?
Obviously, you know, it was Kobe. It's number one on my list. You know what I'm saying? Of course.
Out of everybody.
But I give you some other ones that I look forward to. That was tough. I'm gonna give you a couple guys that, for me, people don't think they were tough to guard. That goddamn Katino Mobley, bro.
Quick first step.
Bro, I hated playing
against him. The quickest.
Woo! Hey, I hated playing against Katino Mobley, bro. Peja Stojakovic. Hated playing against Peja Stojakovic.
His shit was further back than Jack's.
Yes.
I think she was over here, too.
Couldn't do nothing with it, bro. Wet ball. And another one, that goddamn Jamal Mashburn, man.
Ooh.
Oh, Mash.
Monster Mash.
Monster Mash was a problem.
Shout out Mashburn. He was a killer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Monster
Mash. And shout out to Mashburn. He killing in the business world, too, right now,
too.
Yeah,
with the car dealerships right? and stuff.
Yeah, he killing it.
But that Katino Mobley, bro?
Cat.
I ain't like playing against Cat, man.
It's funny because you can still see Cat gray bearded out in the motherfucking Drew League playing against young 20-year-olds. Yeah. Killing.
Yes.
Still killing.
Yes.
Killing.
Yes.
And then still doing his thing in the Big Three. That motherfucker had game, bro.
Yeah, man. But, game. You know, when them young boys came along, you know, obviously Bron and Melo, I love going up against them boys.
and D Wade. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite teammate.
Tough.
Favorite teammate, T-Mac.
Man, I don't like to do that, bro, because I play with some great guys, man. I don't like to just single one guy out. I mean, I have some great teammates. When I was in Toronto.
When they asked me that, I named about eight of them. I got eight of them, so I can't name one.
Yeah,
I
can't name just one. But, man, when I was in Toronto, bro, 19 years old, and I'm surrounded by Antonio Davis, Muggsy Bogues, D. Brown, Dale Curry, Charles Oakley, Kevin Willis. Man.
Yeah,
the best
buddy.
Time ever, dog. And them plane rides and them bus rides with Charles Oakley.
Yes.
Yes. I see. Hey,
I've been on some.
I'm still a teenager with this dude.
Hey, keep in mind.
Hey, I'm still a teenager with this dude. He put fear into me, bro. Again, legal age in Toronto is 19 years old.
Yes.
I don't drink. We out at the club, right? Hanging out, all of us. He trying to get me to drink. I'm like, bro, I don't drink. He already lit. He on. Hey, he punched me in my chest so hard. Oh, you bullshit. I said, damn. Bro. So, no bullshit.
You got their big-ass heavy hands, too.
Crusty-ass hands, bro. Oh, he hit me. Boom. You bullshit. Hey. I eased away from the crowd. I went on the other side of the club, and the whole night I was watching him. If he came my way, I'm going around. Like, I stayed away. Oak was a different dude. I love him. Like, he took care of me and Vince on the court. Like, he had that old school mentality. You foul one of our boys, I'm going to hit one of y'all's. Like, he was that type of dude. Bro, we used to go shoot around. We had shoot around at 10 o'clock. Your ass better be off that court at 10 o'clock. Because if you still on the court, he going to the ball rack. Coaches and all, he's slinging all the basketballs at the team. He ain't give a damn. Are you mad?
At the players? At everybody?
Man, at everybody, bro. Coaches, players, he ain't care. Bro, Oak was different. So I ain't going to say, I got to tell y'all this. Yeah. I got to tell y'all this story. Like, Oak was a different dude. I'll tell you, at 19, bro, he put fear in my heart. Every time we went out, I'm on the other side, and I'm watching. Man, I ain't trying to do nothing else, but I'm watching this dude. Just make sure he don't come by me. So this after I tell y'all this story, this is it. I ain't going to say my man's name. I don't want to put him out there like that. So all those vets I just named, right?
Hold up. If I know the name, I'm going to say it, because I think I know all the stories.
No, man. I don't want to put him out there like that, Stack. I don't want to put him out there like that. So we flying from Toronto to Sacramento. Bro, this is a long-ass flight, right? These boys got the big bottles of Jack Daniels. Now, mind you, all them cats drink. I think Kevin Willis is the only one that don't drink.
Nah, he didn't.
So... whole plane ride, they drinking like crazy. I'm talking about, I got a bunch of bottles. We land in Sacramento, and Oak is looking for the last bottle. My man don't even want to drink no more, so he hid the bottle under his seat.
Say what's up to the chef. I saw the chef. Say what up to the chef.
Yeah, that's my brother. My brother's my chef. So he hid the bottle.
I already know.
Under his seat. Oak walking up and down the bus, right on the way to the hotel. Hey, man, where the motherfucking bottle at? Who got the last bottle? And boy, somebody,
right,
pointed that buddy. Hey, where that motherfucker bought that? You hiding the bottle? Dog. Oak was looking around, grabbed the bottle. Mind you, the dude is from Sacramento. Clean suit. Oh, he going home to see the fam. Big ass bottle.
Oh,
you trying to hide the bottle? Oh, you don't want to drink no more? All right, motherfucker, you going to wear this. And started and drenched it on him. The whole bottle, bro.
He G-thanged him?
Bro, the whole bottle on my... Hey, buddy's sitting there like mad as hell, like ready to get up. Nah, chill, dog. Take that. You got to, we tell him, hey, you got to eat that, dog.
That's tough. Hey, you can't do nothing.
Dog. If you get up and try to defend yourself, it might end up a little worse than just getting poured on y'all.
No doubt it would have ended up worse. That's why we was like, hey, you gotta take that, Claire.
Don't do it.
You gotta take, don't do it, man. I'm 19 years old, bro. I'm still like, hey, man, I ain't messing with this dude, bro. But I love that cat to death, though, man, because I know he's about to die for you, bro.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Shout out to big homie Oak.
High school journey. You jump in, you get a nice deal. What was it like to finally have your own shoe, your custom shoe?
So I
wear them hoes in college.
Oh, shout out to Matt for wearing the Max, man. Shit.
I had them on in college, yep.
Nah, it was a great thing because, you know, I grew up wearing my idol shoes, Penny, wearing Jordans, wearing Pips, you know, being out on the blacktop, hooping in your favorite player's shoes, I mean, that was something special. And then to know I have my own and seeing kids do the same, hey, man, it was, I mean, what can I say, man? God is good, bro. God is good. It was a beautiful thing to see. And then you look back and see guys like LeBron in high school wearing your shoes. I mean, Mama, I made it. Mama, I made it.
Dope. Who's one guy you wish you could have teamed up with in your career? Anybody?
Shaq.
Oh, Diesel. Everybody wanted to play with Diesel. Everybody wanted to play with Diesel.
Shaq or Tim Duncan. I knew I was going to win.
Either. Could you imagine if Timmy would have came to Orlando with him and G Hill?
I get upset.
And G Hill stay healthy? That could have been a dynasty.
That was the big three right there.
That was a big three right there,
man.
For that ass, for real.
But yeah,
coach.
Oh, Jeff Van Gundy, coach, bro. Jeff Van Gundy, man. Jeff Van Gundy was just his basketball acumen, it was like nothing that I ever been around. I mean, the man was super duper smart. He made sure that you were gonna be well prepared, you know, going into games. I mean, he provided all the information that you needed.
No, I played for his brother. Stan was the same way. Attention to detail.
Yes.
Tape shoot arounds, knee pads. Hey. Ready to go.
Was he precise? Was he extremely precise?
Oh, man.
Like you had to be on a certain spot.
To the point, to the T. He just got a little rattled during the big game, but as far as preparing you to do what you're supposed to do, one of the best.
Oh, shit. I thought I'd ask you, bro. What happened in Orlando? Cause you played with Skip in Orlando when y'all went to the finals, right?
No,
You wasn't
on that
team.
The year after.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I came the year after.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the year I want to say we were one of the top teams in the East, and Orlando had played the Lakers the year before in the finals, and I came the following year, and we had beat Boston 3-1 during the season, and then going into the conference finals, we had smacked Charlotte. Locked Jack down, smacked Atlanta. We were beating every team. We were 8-0, beating every team by like 25 a game almost. Some crazy NBA record average. Going into Boston, he wanted to change up the whole game plan. You know, this is a veteran-driven team. We need to do A, B, and C. And this is when Dwight Howard was in his prime.
He was a monster, bro.
You couldn't fuck with Dwight.
He was a monster.
Nobody could fuck with Dwight.
Unstoppable.
Biggest, most athletic, agile motherfucker I ever played with.
Ever.
Dwight was on his shit in Orlando. You couldn't fuck with Dwight Howard. So we had we had D Howard, we had Vince, we had Rashard Lewis, Jameer Nelson, Petrus, who else we had? We had a squad. Changed everything up going into the Eastern Conference Finals. He got a little nervous on us.
And that was a regular season game when you did that to Kobe?
Yeah, that was the end of the season, that March shit going
okay,
in. So we were
okay.
So we were thinking we're gonna see them again in the finals. I just wasn't there the year before, so it's
okay.
The whole plan. We're supposed to line up in the finals again.
Okay, okay.
And then and then you know what I mean? Shitted on the church's money in the Eastern Finals.
Yeah.
As far as attention to detail.
Yeah.
That motherfucker get you attention to detail for sure. Current NBA, who are you a fan of? Who are you watching? Teams, players?
I mean, I'm a fan of the game, but man. KD, my young boy, Jaylen Brown. That's my young boy.
And he can always wear the T-Max.
That's my guy. But KD, bro. KD is a bad motherfucker.
Killer.
Him and Paul George and Kawhi. I was really looking forward to seeing what the Clippers was going to do with the Lakers this year. I really wanted to see that. And I just don't think we're going to get that chance. Going to have to wait
until next year. Who you had in the finals, though, out of Clippers and Lakers? Who you had going to the finals? Your final prediction?
My preseason pick, I had Clippers winning the whole thing.
Boo.
Me too. I just thought
with them, the killers that they have, and you got Lou Williams coming off the bench, bro, I thought they was too deep.
Then they add a Morris twin.
The Morris twins, and then Reggie Jackson. Come on, bro. They hella deep.
A lot of dogs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who you had, Stack?
I had the Lakers. I kind of feel like Lou Williams would be the factor because the teams are very matched up. You know what I'm saying? But I think if they could find somebody to stop AD, the key X factors to me was going to be if they could find somebody to stop AD and if the Lakers had an answer for Lou Williams. That was my two questions.
I just felt like the champ, regardless, was coming out of L.A. I wouldn't have been surprised if either of them went, but I thought the champion, with all due respect to Milwaukee and the rest of, Boston was starting to hit their stride. They're solid teams, Toronto in the East, but I just felt like the championship was going to come to L.A. one way or another.
I agree.
Is there anyone in today's game that you mentor or talk to? Kobe was kind of big on trying to give back. He spoke on giving back what he learned and his knowledge to this younger generation. Did you find yourself doing any of that?
I talked to Jalen, man. Jalen trains with me. He comes to the house.
Okay.
Yeah, so I work him out. I talked to him yesterday. He's coming whenever they lift this shit off, man. He's going to come get that work in. He's going to get in that lab.
That's what's up.
That's my young boy.
Yep.
He's an intelligent dude, too. I didn't really know too much of him when we had him on the show.
Very intelligent kid,
man. Very business savvy. Yes. I was very impressed with the way he just carried himself and embodied. Like, he's like an old soul. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent, but an older spirit.
He gets it, man. He's very sharp.
Yeah.
In all aspects. He's very sharp.
What team would you love to join in today's league? If you could play in today's league, what team would you, if you had a choice to pick a team, what team would you go play for?
With the current players that are constructed, the highest constructed right now.
Yes.
Oh, put me in Golden State, bro.
Yes, sir.
Put me in Golden State.
I don't blame you. I don't blame
you. Tell me why. Talk to me.
Why?
Talk to me.
Man, look. First, you got the greatest shooters in the game on one team. That's Klay and Steph. Draymond, playmaking ability, leadership. You add me to that, who you going to check? Who the hell you going to guard? That's just like KD was on the team. Like, you couldn't do nothing with them.
Can't do nothing with it.
You know what I see? I see T-Mac at the point, Jimmy Butler, and Embiid in Philly without Ben Simmons.
Oh, I love Embiid, but we might fight, bro. We might fight, bro.
He and Embiid gonna fight.
Y'all might fight?
he's talented as hell, bro, but he don't be playing
like it.
You know what I'm saying? That inconsistency ain't gonna do it,
every night,
bro. You gotta bring it. That man got so much talent, bro.
I think so much skill.
So much, man. I think he gotta get in better shape, too, man. I love that kid's game, but he got to be more consistent and get in better shape.
He need Giannis attitude.
Who would you like to see as a guest on All the Smoke for us?
I think y'all need to get 50 on here, man.
Ooh, we've been trying.
I've been DMing him.
I've been on his page. He got a lot of. He probably the businessman.
Here's how you do. You need to get my bro on here, Lorenz Tate. Get Lorenz Tate on here. He's right there in L.A. with you, Matt. And then you got access to get him. You know, Renz is
right
my
there.
Brother.
The inside.
Right there.
That's the plug right there.
Easy call. We're coming for you.
Hey, artist or song on repeat right now, during this quarantine?
I play a variety of stuff, bro. I mean, I'm on that Ross. Ross is my dude.
Yeah.
So underrated, dude.
Ross is my dude, man.
He a killer. So
Wayne
underrated.
And Wayne. I listen to that Wayne.
We just had Wayne. Shout out, Wayne. We just had him on the show last week.
Oh, word?
When you hear that lighter flick, you know what time it is. When you hear that lighter flick, you know what time it is.
Weezy F. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What you currently binge watching?
I just finished Ozark. I'm watching.
Matt's on that now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, just finished Ozark. I'm watching a show called The Outsiders. Well, actually, I just finished that. Just watched The Outsiders. Homeland, you on Homeland?
Mm-hmm. Homeland,
that's,
yeah.
That's shout out, man. Showtime. That's our brother.
I'm up on that.
And I'm watching this show on Amazon Prime called The Hunters. I'll check that out.
The okay. Hunters. Yeah.
Check
yeah.
out nice. Money Heist or oh, All I'm American.
Watching Money Heist. I finished All American already.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
All American is dope too.
Hold on. And if you're on Amazon Prime, Tracy, Google my movie called.
See what I mean? See how much he called it. Me Tracy, bro. See what I mean? That man always used to call me T Mac.
Always called T Mac. Always called me. You've been saying Tracy, so you got me saying Tracy. I've been saying T Mac my whole life, bro.
Hey, I'm Tracy now, bro. You see how that is?
Tracy.
Crazy.
Hey, no, what up? I got a movie.
Which one?
I got a movie on Amazon Prime right now, right? And I want you to check it out, right? So it's by me and my brother Boomtown. He did a lot of videos, right? And it's a southern version of Set It Offs. It's about four ladies. They catch these guys, just say all the drug dealers, and yeah. they find a way to rob them. They're not Robin Hoods, but they rob them and do some stuff with the money, man. But you got to check it out. I'm gonna send you the link, and I'm gonna send all that to your phone when we get off of here.
What's it called? What is it called?
Called Trill.
Trill?
Yeah.
I think I came across that. You got something to do with that?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Stack? I got one of your boys you grew up in PA, man. He be bringing one of the, a kid. I got to get his name for you, dog. He be bringing a kid from Nederland or somewhere up there where where you from.
Nederland.
Yeah. He be bringing a kid down. Yeah. Man, this kid, 13 years old, bro, 6'5", raw talent.
Really?
6'5", bro. Yeah, he's part of my organization. And your man brings him down for me, brings him to the house. I got to find out his name, though.
That's dope.
That's what's up. So what is your quarantine snack right now? What's your go-to right now during lockdown?
Shit, I just eat fruit salad. That's
it?
Oh, I actually lost 15 pounds, bro. Because I'm able to be stable and work out consistently. So I'm just here, brother chefing it up for me. And I don't eat a lot of junk, man. I really only eat like two, maybe three times a day. That's it. I'm not a snacker.
Yeah. I messed up too, T-Mac. I'm saying Trill, think of Port Arthur. The movie's called Candy. What am I thinking? It's called Candy, C-A-N-D-Y.
Blame it on the weed, not his heart. Candy,
yeah, I said Trill.
Amazon Prime.
I'm from Trillville, so I was thinking Trill's called Candy. My bad.
Hey, man, well, we appreciate your time. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate y'all.
Always
y'all
good
boys,
to catch up.
Boys, keep doing y'all thing, being the voice for the real ones out here, man. Y'all doing great things, brother.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate you, T-Mac, bro. Thanks,
all love, hey, man. I got to come to the studio, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why we ain't going too deep into the interview, because we want you to come in the studio where we really can dig into some stuff and all the stuff you got going on off the court.
Yeah, we'll do that. Love to y'all, man.
For sure. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, boys.
Hey, that's a wrap. Special quarantine edition. Special guest, T-Mac. Tracy McGrady. Good show, Jack. Yeah, breast. Your shit look good. You need some kind of beard endorsement. Maybe Hugh. We need to make you the brand spokesman for Hugh.
That's my brother.
All right, so we got to make sure we got to start doing a beard, some beard shit for Jack, because Jack shit look good. That shit blend in right with your gray sweater. Shit look nice. All right, man, you can catch this on Showtime, Basketball, YouTube, or all platforms streaming podcasts.
All of them. Good job, my boy.
Good game.
There's something about how this place forms a different kind of person.
On my high school team, we had five guys make the NBA.
We had the county rocking.
You mentioned Prince George's County. People know what it's about. It's the Mecca of basketball.
There are those who come before us, upon whose shoulders we stand.
Being from this area, you have to have tough skin.
The gym became his sanctuary.
PG County guy. Provide buckets for America.
Prince George packs a lot of power, a lot of character.
It's nothing that you can do to stop a competitive edge.
We're pushing the community and the culture forward.
It's just in the water.
This life was all I ever wanted.
I'm not leaving. Not yet.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We gotta hit the streets, make some money.
People like us must destroy people like him. Buckle up.
Get Showtime free at Showtime.com.